Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Munganess St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Here we go, Sports Open Line on a Friday night. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. It is the Friday, October 18th, 2019 edition of the program. We got all sorts of issues in here. Happy to be with you until 8 o'clock tonight as we have no baseball. Blues lose last night. They're back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And we're going to talk about the Blues. Here's what I got coming up for you on the program. 6:30, Tom Ackerman is going to join me. Ackerman will be with us to talk some Cardinals. I don't know what you're saying. I'm sorry, I'm having an issue in here, and our great engineer, Ryan Schulte, who bails me out of so many predicaments, is coming in. I didn't know what you were saying, though. I still don't know what you're saying. You're doing interpretive dance here in the studio. I won't touch anything, and we'll be good. Tom Ackerman's coming up at 6:30 to join me. Ooh, I've never sat on this side of the console before. We'll talk a little Cardinals baseball and also some Mizzou with Tom coming up. This was not operator error. This was function error. It's been a long couple of days. Tom will be with me at 6:30. We'll talk Cardinals. We will look ahead towards the offseason and also talk a little Mizzou with Tom as the Tigers, don't look now, are in first place in the SEC East. Mizzou heads to Nashville where they take on Vanderbilt tomorrow. They are a 21.5-point favorite over the Commodores. Barry Odom and company hitting the road after five straight games in Columbia.
Yeah, we're coming off another in-conference win, which is huge for a program. The continuing of improvement that we've shown week to week to week, we've gotten better. And that's got to continue this week going into Vandy and playing against a team that I know is going to, Coach Mason will have ready to go play their best. We got out of the Ole Miss game, and looking back at it with coming off of the win, it was a good team win for us against, I think, is a really good team in Ole Miss. And we had to show some toughness and resolve and grit down the stretch. And I was proud of our team. I thought we moved forward in a lot of different areas in our program. And
they're headed to Nashville. So Mizzou in first place in the SEC East with still Florida and Georgia coming up. But, like, here's the thing, and the thing that I want to talk to Tom about. It would be, honestly, the most Mizzou thing ever if you're in first place, and even if you beat Georgia in Florida, and then, oh, guess what? You are not bowl or conference championship eligible. But we won't worry about that because there's nothing we can do about that right now. So we will continue to watch and enjoy and hope that Mizzou takes advantage of a bad Vanderbilt team tomorrow. So Tom Ackerman's coming up in about 10 minutes to talk some Cardinals and also some Mizzou with Tom. We'll talk some Blues hockey in the 7 o'clock hour. Our guy Joey Vitale is going to be with me. Joey will be with us at 7:15. We'll talk Blues after last night. They drop another game, although in a shootout in which they had a 2-goal lead. Joey Vitale joins me at 7:15. Plenty of time for your calls. If you want to get in on the conversation, 436-7900, 314-436-7900. That is the telephone number. You can also dial us toll-free at 800-925-1120. Follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E.
But what I'm saying is, I'm gonna say, this is what I'm saying.
Ben Boy is the executive producer of the program.
You gotta watch the Jets. They got a good young team. You got to watch them, and you got to watch Nashville.
Well, they're playing each other.
And your wife is a smart woman.
Whoever wins out of those two, I'll pick to win the cup.
Your wife is a smart woman. I just heard that in the background.
Yeah. Smart woman. I've been married to her for 42 years.
Mike Anderson's my guy.
Hey, he's good.
Here in the KMOX studios, it is Sports Open Line. I just did it again on a Friday night. Sorry, I've got a microphone stand arm issue. There we go. You know, folks, sometimes when it rains, it pours. And you just got to keep things in perspective and remember what's really important in life. Sometimes just laugh and shake it off. Let's talk to Rob, who's dialed in. Again, Tom Ackerman coming up 6:30, Joey Vitale 7:15. Plenty of time for your phone calls if you want to talk baseball, if you want to talk Cardinals offseason, if you want to talk Blues. And Rob joins us on the program. Rob, what's going on, man?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. Quickly, there's a lot I want to say. The best team won, the Nats, and the Nats are going to win the World Series. It's their time.
They're awesome, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, they just flat out are better than we are. But the question is, how come we didn't win one game? The answer is we stopped hitting. Why did we stop hitting? The answer is they're flat out of gas. And I think two things impacted it greatly.
Give the Nationals pitching some credit too.
And then the 13-1 against Atlanta shot all their bullets. So now they're flat out of bullets. And then they're playing a great team. So, you know, I think that the Cardinals are sensitive to those things because of who they are, the Cardinals.
You know, I think, Rob, that a couple of things, and I'll agree with you that some guys looked out of gas. I don't know if the 13 runs in Atlanta had anything to do with that because you scored 10 in the first inning, but like, I think it was a combination of maybe that. I give the Nationals pitching more credit than anything, and let's not forget that the Cardinals basically made the Nationals lineup look incredibly ordinary over the first two games, and you were getting no hit by Max Scherzer. You were only down 1-0 after seven innings in game two. So it's not like the Nationals tore the cover off the ball until a couple of Cardinal miscues in 3 and 4 opened things up. And then finally, I just think it's baseball, man. Like, if Paul Goldschmidt goes 1-for-13 over three games in the middle of July, we call it a slump. But if it happens in the postseason, then, you know, it's a bit of a different stage and it's a bit of a different result, right?
I suppose. I still think that energy is like a tank of gas. You know, it's finite. And I think the Cardinals burn it a little faster. But nevertheless, this season was victorious. I mean, we won the division.
Yeah, sure.
Holy cow. I mean, and we went to the NLCS. But,
yeah.
But it was my prediction they wouldn't win a game because there's all this energy expenditure. And I just want to say one more thing, please. The Blues, my prediction was they would come out of the gate strong and then fall into a deep hole because their energy isn't recovered. They're hung over from going to the nth degree, and they didn't recover. So they're still a great team, and they might by the end of, you know, sometime like next year. But you can look for lackluster play from them, and it's an energy issue. Thank you.
Yeah, buddy. I just think offense is down. No, I don't think. Offense is down in baseball in the postseason. We welcome Mike Anderson into the program for the first time tonight.
What's up?
What's up, buddy? What do you think, and the Cardinals, again, a dismal showing in the NLCS. They hit 200 with a 266 on base and a 322 slugging percentage in the postseason. What do you think the average for all postseason participants to this point is from an average standpoint? What do you think the average team is hitting in the postseason right now?
Man, well, I know it would be lower than regular season average because you're facing better pitchers, and good pitchers beat good hitters generally. If I had to wager a guess as DJ LeMahieu hits a home run, I would say, I don't know, maybe 225.
That is exactly it. The Washington Nationals have the best team batting average in the postseason at 243. Like, teams just aren't hitting in the postseason.
And that's pretty standard, I think, on a yearly basis.
Yeah, man. The average on base percentage is 299. The average slug is 385. The Cardinals and Nationals numbers were both better than this in the DS. The point is, you get to the National League Championship Series, the American League Championship Series, you get deeper in the postseason, and not only does the pitching get better, but you're seeing the best pitchers more often, and you're not seeing the crap pitchers, you know? Regular season, major league average. And this, listen, that average, that's the average of playoff teams, all right? The major league average this year, including the Detroit Tigers and the Miami Marlins and the Kansas City Royals, was 252. And pitching has been great. And I know the Astros, like on paper right now, from a Vegas perspective, as New York tries to extend their series, and LeMahieu, a leadoff home run, as Mike said, to tie things up. Now Aaron Judge hits a single, so they've got a man on, tied 1-1, nobody out, bottom of the first. The Astros have the most talent on paper, and from a Vegas perspective, I'm sure they would be not overwhelming favorites of the Nationals, but maybe pretty heavily favored because they'd have home field as well. But, you know, Justin Verlander, again, we see him right now getting touched in the first inning. We saw him get rocked on 3 days rest. We've seen Zach Greinke get rocked a couple of times. Gerrit Cole was really good the other night. They won, but what do they have, 9 base runners allowed? If you're telling me the Nationals are going to have a full week of rest to set things up, so then they have Scherzer in game 1 and game, 5 on full rest or 6 on full rest, so they can have Scherzer and Strasburg twice on full rest. They can have Corbin once in game 3, the first game at home in D.C., on full rest, and then maybe coming out of the pen in game 6 and game 7 because he's already done that. And then Anibal Sanchez, let's see what the schedule is here. So the World Series, Tuesday, Wednesday, off day Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Scherzer goes Tuesday, it'd be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So you could have Scherzer game 1 and 5, Strasburg game 2 and 6, Corbin game 3 and 7, and because there's an off day in between game 2 and game 3, you could theoretically have Corbin available in the bullpen both game 1 and game 2 to throw his bullpen session. You could have Scherzer available on Friday in game 3, or Scherzer and Strasburg available Friday and then Saturday to throw their bullpens. And they've just got to win 4 games? I'll take the pitching. Back in a moment with Tom Ackerman on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh. On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Tom Ackerman joins us to kick off this Friday night edition of Sports Open Line on KMOX. And, you know, more than anything, I'm just bummed that we're not about 30 minutes away from Game 6 of the NLCS. It is absolutely gorgeous in St. Louis right now. Going to be gorgeous tomorrow, but so goes it. And, you know, we'll focus our attention on hockey and on the first-place Missouri Tigers. And Cardinals offseason, I believe it's, what, 51 days until the winter meetings start and like 121 or 122 days until the first spring training game.
Yeah, I'm sitting outside right now, Chris, with a beautiful night, and it is a bummer, but, you know, I mean, I think the Cardinals, maybe this Cardinals team took fans for a ride that was exhilarating, sometimes frustrating, maybe as far as they should have gone. And in some people's eyes, further than they should have gone. I really felt like this team was capable of getting to that point, getting to the NLCS, winning the division, and maybe winning a postseason series. And they did that, beat a good Braves team, got there. They just ran into a buzzsaw. Washington was on fire, really, from the second half. You know, the Cardinals weren't the only hot second half team, you know, and the Nationals got the job done. The Cardinals did not. And the Nationals suddenly look like a very, very tough team in the World Series. I mean, they're going to be rested and they'll be able to reload their rotation however they want to do it and await the winner of this Yankees-Astros game. But I do wish, of course, all of us who have been involved with the Cardinals for many, many Octobers love winning, and there's nothing like it to go as far as you can. But, hey, mid-October, got it done, went as far as they could, and now you just wait for spring training. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, it is nice to not have the season come to an end at the end of September. And you're right, it was such a remarkable ride, and the Nationals are like the St. Louis Blues. They've been playing better than anyone over the last few months. And I think that this entire postseason really proves that pitching still dominates the postseason. Even in a year in which we were talking so much, Tom, about the baseball and home runs and what was happening from an offensive standpoint, it's been pitching that's really carried the water for every team that's still alive and has been the reason that teams have either, you know, found their demise or had success. And I think that gives me success in terms of what I think the Cardinals have from an infrastructure standpoint, what they can do this offseason, and even some of the pieces that they're going to get back or still have next year.
That's right. You know, and good pitching beats good hitting. We've heard that for years. And good pitching will definitely beat inconsistent hitting, which is what the Cardinals had. I think we know that the Cardinals had a good lineup, but we all are for sure they had an inconsistent lineup, that they had what we like to call a Jekyll and Hyde lineup where they would erupt at times and other times they'd be pretty quiet. And unfortunately, they were quiet at the wrong time. So it was a little bit of both, great pitching by the Nationals and a very quiet exit by the Cardinals offensively. And I do think that needs to be addressed in the offseason. And it's a little complicated because the Cardinals have a lot of money tied up in players right now. And they have a big name, Marcelo Zuna, who is likely going to go elsewhere unless something is going on that I don't know. I would think that the Cardinals probably give him a qualifying offer, and then somebody out there, an owner, is going to throw some pretty big money at Ozuna, and he'll play for somebody else most likely. So that's a big loss in the lineup. I mean, for all the things that people rolled their eyes on with Ozuna, some plays that were adventurous in the outfield to stretches of quiet at the plate, this guy drove in a lot of runs and went on some big runs and missed a good portion of the season, too, with injury. It's a loss. When you lose your cleanup hitter, you got to go find somebody. So it's a little complicated. I think the Cardinals do need to figure that out as to what their offense looks like, and they just need to be more consistent. They've got to find a way for 1 through 8 and then the pitcher to be able to keep the line moving, and that did not happen often enough.
Yeah, you're still replacing 52 home runs in Ozuna over the last 2 years, if indeed he does leave. And, yeah, for a team that struggled to score, that would be a glaring loss. And I know that there's excitement about some of the guys coming up within the organization. I think there's reason for excitement. I still think that, you know, Dylan Carlson, while he is one of the most exciting prospects in all of baseball right now, you know, he's still 20 years old and has a very, very small number of professional games under his belt. He's got just, you know, 126 games professionally above A ball. I think that, you know, he needs a little bit of time. Nolan Gorman obviously is a few years away, but, you know, you do need to find some consistency offensively, some guys that can be the force in the middle of the lineup. We really only saw Goldschmidt and Ozuna clicking at the same time in the Atlanta series.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we saw those two guys at times carry the team. Ozuna got hot at times during the regular season. Goldschmidt was on fire there kicking off the second half of the season. That kind of got the Cardinals jump started. But you have to find somebody that can hit cleanup along with Goldie. I think that Paul DeJong still has great potential as an offensive powerhouse. He hit 30 home runs. He just needs to figure out how to adjust, and he will. He's a great athlete. He's a durable player. Guy played 159 games. I mean, you know, he is a very, very good baseball player who has become an outstanding shortstop. I really believe that he's one of the better defensive shortstops. Well, I would say he's a very good defensive shortstop, and maybe better than a lot of people thought he would be. I think he's held down that position really well. But in that, you know, on the offensive side, though, I think he can be a really good player for them. He'll need to mature. Look, on Dylan Carlson, I'm not saying that he's Ronald Acuna Jr. or Juan Soto, but those guys are 20 also. And, you know, if he shows up in spring training and is killing the ball and they are in love with his approach, and if his bat continues to play, because it looked good all 2019, spring training all the way through, I think he's got a shot at joining this team. Maybe not the opening day roster, but I think he's got a real shot at playing for this team in 2020 because of the need there. I don't think that the Cardinals will do anything in their outfield. I think they feel pretty good about the outfielder, the outfield depth that they have. I think Carlson has a chance to play for this Cardinals team in 2020.
Yeah, he might. And certainly, like Soto, for instance, didn't play a whole lot of minor league baseball before he, you know, actually came up and made his debut with Washington. But he did sign as an international free agent in 2015. I struggle to try to push some of these guys along too quickly, because as exciting as he is, like, next year would be his age 21 season. And, you know, I think just from a workload standpoint, like, part of the reason he's not playing in the Arizona Fall League this year is because, you know, he's played 126 professional games and he went to the Futures game. And just for a 20-year-old, regardless of skill set, how hard can you push him, and how hard can you keep the throttle down, making the adjustment from, you know, just the pressures of playing every day in the big leagues? He's going to be a big part of this organization very, very soon. But, you know, I guess my point is you can't count on him to solve all your problems right away. I think you need to look outside the organization, especially from an offensive standpoint, to try to figure some things out.
Definitely, yeah. You can't count on him to carry anything. I think there's a real chance that he plays, but I agree. I mean, you've got to hold the spot for a while until he's absolutely ready. It'll be exciting to see when he does come around. And eventually, Nolan Gorman, because they didn't want to trade him either. And all these teams at the trade deadline wanted Carlson and Gorman, and it wasn't going to happen for a reason, because the Cardinals think those two bats have great potential, and they're probably right. I know the Cardinals get criticized for rating their prospects pretty high, but my gosh, they've got some pretty good prospects. As we just learned with Jack Flaherty, he's a breakout star. They held him too and did not trade him when people were asking for him, and now you can see why. So the Cardinals have a very healthy franchise. You know, they have good money coming in. They have a really good system. They are not wild spenders, but they do spend, and they are very careful about dealing prospects. They have before, and some of these guys have gone on to be pretty good players. So, you know, but right now, I like how they look in that area. I think that they're going to be good for a long time. But yes, I think that they need to make a move or two this offseason, not just to appease the fan base. I don't know that you do it because the fans want you to. That's part of it. You want the customer to be happy and coming back. You want to, but, you know, I think that the Cardinals have to look at their philosophy and be pretty happy with where they are. But Chris, they've now squeezed past the Cubs and the Brewers in the NL Central. They're back on top. They're the kings of the division, at least for this year. And you can't budge now. You've got to hold your position and make sure that you stay in front of those two teams. I'm pretty sure the Cubs and Brewers are going to be aggressive.
I do want to see what could be done from a pitching standpoint. You'll obviously get Jordan Hicks back a month or two into the season, it looks like, which, you know, kudos to the bullpen for not having him all year doing what they did. Andrew Miller showed signs of being Andrew Miller and was Andrew Miller in the postseason. I think Carlos, despite maybe an outing or two that leaves a bad taste in your mouth, Carlos was great as the closer. Giovanni Gallegos was great. And then your starting staff. And for a free agent market that is perhaps thin in terms of impact position players, there's a lot of pitching out there. And, you know, I love the idea of adding to this rotation and love the idea of Adam Wainwright coming back as well.
I love the idea of Adam Wainwright coming back. I think as long as he doesn't retire, there's a spot for him in the rotation. And then you have Flaherty and Hudson and Michaelis. And the other question is, who else? We all know the names down in the minor leagues. There are some names for sure. I think one that we saw this fall really emerge is Ryan Helsley.
Yeah.
Helsley throws, you know, a number of pitches for strikes. He's got really good stuff. Seems to be maturing each outing. I like him a lot. I would love to think that you could just go throw a ton of money at a Gerrit Cole. But again, you know, there could be a lot of teams looking to do just that. And the Cardinals historically are not wild spenders. You know, I don't know that they would do this for a pitcher or not, but they did turn out to be very successful in the Paul Goldschmidt trade. And there's a possibility that the Cardinals would try to do the same thing, that they would look to see what they have and then move a couple of players for an impactful position player or pitcher. I could see that happening. But in terms of what you said about Martinez, yes, he could play as a member of this rotation, unless he was moved for some reason. Jordan Hicks projects to go right back into the closer spot. I like Gallegos coming out of the bullpen. I like some others too.
You're right about Helsley, and yeah, in the postseason he was unbelievable. 5 1/3 innings over 5 appearances, 1 hit, no runs, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, and he has, you know, a lot of starting experience in the minors. It wasn't until he got, you know, slowed down with the shoulder in 2018 and then moved to the bullpen last year. But, you know, he threw 132 innings in 2017, started 23 games. Like, I would love to see how they use him. And again, another piece, how does he fit? And just a really exciting arm who was getting better and better on the biggest stages, almost like a, I don't want to compare him to what Flaherty did, but in terms of the end of the season and then the postseason, he was huge, man. Like, he struck out the Braves, struck out the side in the eighth inning and got everyone fired up in that game four at Busch. And that kind of, I think, started to trigger the comeback.
Right. Two totally different pitchers here. So I'm not comparing their stuff, but in a similar situation, the Cardinals had a big, durable, right-handed reliever that eventually became a heck of a starter in the big leagues, and that's Lance Lynn. And I see Helsley as, you know, just the way that he's built, he's a big, durable guy. I don't want to jinx it here, but I see somebody that could really last a long time in the big leagues as a pitcher. I like the look. I like the way he pitches. I like his improvement. Of course, I love the power of his fastball, but he does mix it up quite well, throws for strikes, doesn't seem to crack under pressure. I like his potential a lot. I don't know what will happen to the rotation, but I think there's going to be a pretty good healthy competition come February, March in Jupiter.
Let me ask you about Mizzou before we let you go. They're in Vanderbilt or in Nashville to take on Vanderbilt tomorrow, and especially after what's happened in the SEC East coming off of that Wyoming game, I think people were kind of like, oh gosh, here we go. And you still have the uncertainty about the sanctions and the bowl ban, but wow, all of a sudden, Tigers at the top of the SEC East. They're 5-1 overall, and the defense looks like a real, real asset for Barry Odom. I know they gave up some points to Ole Miss last week, but holy cow, has this been a fun team to watch, and I'm, you know, excited to see them hopefully beat up on Vanderbilt tomorrow and win another conference game.
Yeah, it'd be nice. And then they have to go to Kentucky, and looming still are the Georgia and Florida games, who both lost last weekend. Georgia losing to South Carolina, who Missouri easily handled. I think that the door is open.
We watched that Florida game. They're good, man.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you and I sat there at Cardinals Nation and watched that. That LSU-Florida game had so much NFL talent. It was amazing. I mean, every week in the SEC, you got to be careful. Even this weekend, I think Missouri – they should win the game pretty easily. But you just have to be careful in the SEC. There could be one or two players who have a career game. And, you know, as we saw against Wyoming, anything is possible. Wyoming's not bad. But Missouri's good. I think one thing about Ole Miss is they have a lot of speed on offense, a lot of speed. And I thought that Missouri handled it pretty well. I think that sometimes when you have a lot of speed and your defense gets tired late in the game.
Yeah, they were chucking around trying to come back, too. And Missouri was scoring quickly.
Exactly. So I thought that a really important thing that Missouri did was close the game out. You know, they had about 5-6 minutes there at the end where Ole Miss did not get the ball back. And that's what Missouri is going to have to do. They've got to keep the chains moving. I like the running game. Of course, I love their quarterback. And the way Kelly Bryant was able to bounce back from that injury is amazing. I think Missouri's pretty good. I think that they have just got to be able to continue to play consistent ball on both sides. The loss of Cale Garrett's a tough one for them. The linebacker is super talented, but I think that they have enough to make this really interesting. They are not the caliber of the Georgia and Florida rosters, but sometimes that doesn't matter. I mean, it's all about how you play in that 60 minutes. And if you can make things happen and cause some turnovers, that's what happened to Georgia. I mean, they got careless with the ball. They uncharacteristically were turning the ball over. South Carolina pounced all over it, got the job done. Hey, it can happen to Missouri. And then as for the sanctions, I just would hope that the NCAA does the right thing, but we have not learned any new information there.
God. It would be just so Missouri to, you know, be in position to go to the SEC title game and then not be able to. But we won't think about that because nothing you can do about that. It's kind of like sitting at Busch Stadium and everyone in the world is asking you if it's going to rain, and I just say, I don't know. And if it does, then we'll have a rain delay. And if it doesn't, we'll play baseball.
Yeah, I just do. I am excited about Missouri. I know that the Cardinals losing is tough, but we, especially you and I, have been so inundated with Cardinals.
Great run. Yeah.
And we've been with them every step of the way that it is kind of nice to open our eyes to other things. I mean, you got the Stanley Cup champions playing right now. You have Missouri playing good football right now. You have a whole lot of, you know, exciting things coming for the city of St. Louis. So, yeah, I'm happy about it. And before you know it, you and I will be on the Cardinals caravan and we'll be heading to Jupiter.
That is right. About 120 days till spring training action. 51 days, I believe, until baseball convenes at the winter meetings, and should be a very busy offseason, lots of wheeling and dealing. Tom, appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for the time.
You too, buddy. Thank you.
Tom Ackerman joining us on Camo X. We'll take a break, be back. Get a moment. Phone line's still open. We're hanging out until 8 o'clock.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX. Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh on America's sports voice, KMOX.
Angel.
I got my city doing front flips.
All right, thanks for Tom Ackerman for joining us. And we'll talk a little hockey with Joey Vitale coming up at 7:15. How about the Yankees? 4-0. They put up 4 in the first inning on Justin Verlander. Now Houston has 2 on, 2 out in game 5 of the ALCS. I just want to see more baseball. But I will be rooting for the Nationals. Because, again, like to see great pitching. Sure, I fly a little bit close to the sun. Paxton with a strikeout. Yankees get out of the top of the second. They're up 4-1. But I just think they're really good. And, again, in a lot of ways, they remind me of the Blues. How hot they got. The fact that there has not been a World Series by a D.C. team since 1933. Got some St. Louis connections with Matt Adams, but obviously Max Scherzer, so I'm excited for the World Series. And really excited to see how the postseason from a pitching standpoint plays out. In 51 days, I'll be in San Diego for the winter meetings along with Mike Claiborne. And the pitching market is so deep this year. And there are some guys that also could trigger opt-outs to really, I think, accelerate the market. So I think this could be the first time in the last couple of years in what's been a stagnant market for a variety of reasons that we see maybe the free agent market get kicked into gear a little bit faster. 436-7900, 314-436-7900 if you want to get in, or 800-925-1120. Again, we'll keep talking baseball for the next hour, and we'll talk some hockey with Joey Vitale at 7:15. Also, I've got an outtake from an interview that we didn't play. Which Cardinal pitcher slapped me in the face? It was in love, I promise. Back after the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.